Yeah, play where you... Whatever Mo says is probably good with me. So, if you guys have a Bible, you can turn to Psalm chapter 119. And we have one more sermon in Psalm chapter 119 before vacation. Please go sit down. Thank you, son. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to start by praying this section over us. We've been in the Psalms, so one thing about Grace and Mercy you have to know is we're a very Psalm-orientated church, or have been for the last 18 years, it seems like. But we've been just slowly but surely going through the Psalms, and so we're just going to start by reading this section, Psalm 119, 105 through 112. It's the none section of this Psalm. And so I should be able to find it in my Bible right here. Here we go. So, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offering of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked lay a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. For your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we have one of the most famous verses in all the Psalm, Psalm 119 at least. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I think just even the other night, as we can relate to this, right? Like, as everybody was running around with the kids were running around with their flashlights and seeing, like, we couldn't see the bats flying around without the lights and the lamps going on. And so we actually know this well. Like, when we get up and we walk somewhere at night, like, we need a light, we need the assistance to just make our way safe, to be able to see what we can see. And this verse has traditionally been used to speak about how great the Bible is, how great Scripture is, and how great all its parts are, and how we use them and implement them into our own life. And I agree, to be honest. Like, so your word is a light into my path. Like, we need the Scriptures, we need the Bible to illuminate where we're going and where we look. And it's certainly helpful for us as we learn to walk with Jesus, right? Like, we get to be in the Bible and just learn the ways of Jesus. And this is what the Bible does for us. It lights up our way. It assists us. It's safe passage in the work of God, God's work in our lives. And God's ways are so far above our own that we need this assistance in our daily life, right? We need it like our flashlights in the dark. Like, we just need it to surround up, to show us where we're going. But also, if you notice, like, the flashlights or even the candles that we have, they don't light up the whole area. They don't illuminate at all. They only illuminate, like, the next step, and then the next, and then the next. And we need it, so we need the light every step of the way, right? We just can't take two steps and then turn it off. But the same is true for the Bible. We need the Bible every step of the way, every part of our journey. It will really help us stay on the path that God intended for us, and that's what we hope for, right? And however much I agree with the Bible and those who claim that this is about like Scriptures, I don't think it's actually talking about the Bible. I think it's talking about Jesus. And this is where maybe I would part for some of my friends and maybe even some of you, and that's okay. But Jesus is the one who lights up our way and our path, right? In John 1, you want to help me with this one? In John 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus is a lamp unto my feet, and Jesus is the one who lights up our path. And in John, it also goes on to say, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the light." Right? "No man comes to the Father but through me." And Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And life is oftentimes a troubling and dark place, right? As we sleep on rocks, that's a dark place, right? And as we learn about each other these times, it's like pre-coffee is a dark place, it seems like, right? Like, just before we can get that waking up that we need. And we need to follow Jesus because our life depends on it, right? Our life depends on his light. And it's dark, and Jesus lights up the way. And we get to follow him to have him light up the path. And the one thing I think about Jesus is, like, Jesus isn't 1,000 paces ahead of us going, come on, come on, work your way up to me. Let's go, let's go. Like, I don't know how many dads, like, when we take our kids hiking a little bit. Like, when I was hiking with Mr. Aaron, I was at the top. Come on, Aaron, let's go. Like,
when I was at the bottom.
Yeah, yeah. By the time he got to the top, I pushed him down the hill. So, no, but Jesus isn't 1,000 paces ahead of us. He's right there with us, lighting up the next step, and then the next, and then the next, and so on for the rest of our life. That's how often we need him. It's not just a one and done. We need to follow him if we choose to follow him for our life. Jesus is the lamp to our feet and the light to our path. And for me, this verse speaks volumes to the importance of following Jesus in our daily walk, in our weekly walk, in our monthly, and through the years. If we do have the light of life in our life, and as much as I love the night sky, I'd love to live in the light rather than darkness. Amen? Like, I would rather be able to know what's going on. And life is troubling enough just left to our own devices and our own stuff. But if we have just the next step lit up for us as we seek Jesus' face, then we can make that step, and every step is different. And sometimes Jesus surprises us and says, take this step instead of this one, and we get to take those instead. Now, this is why I think the Bible is so important as well. So I'll go back to the Bible. But as we learn from Scripture, we learn about Jesus. It's all about him in here. The whole thing speaks to his life. Some areas more simply than others, right? Some take a little bit more thinking and explaining. But Scripture is well preserved, and it's one of the most, I know Angie and I like to talk about books all the time, but it's one of the most, like, beautiful pieces of, like, captured book ever. Like, just the poetry, the stories, the way that it tells stories, it's just an amazing offering to us, and let alone it's God-breathed and God-inspired, and so we can learn for it for our life. And it speaks to us differently at different times because it's alive, right? How many of you guys have read one verse and it means something so profound to you, but then you read it 10 years later and it means something completely different and equally profound? I know it's happened with me over and over and over again. It's not a simple book, but it is a living book that speaks to us differently. And Jesus wants us to know him, the one who is the greatest, right? So we can know him. And then here in None, we also see that None is this section, right, of the psalm. We can see oaths and commitments, offerings and joy. These are things that we see in this, and it's the person who wrote this prayer. And I say the person because a lot of people attribute it to David, but it's not proven that David did it. It's not subscribed to David, and it could have been a collection from other people. We don't know exactly, so I'm just going to leave some humility and say we don't know who wrote it. But the person who wrote it is one who has made an oath to God, who is, and an oath is a serious commitment to keep God's rules, because at one point in their life, they thought on God's rules, they meditate on them, they said, these rules are right, they're good, they're just, I'm going to follow them, so I'm going to commit my ways to them. I'm going to swear an oath and I'm going to commit to them. And even though they've gone as far to have the oath confirmed, meaning that they will be accountable for their oath, right? And an oath is a serious thing. I was actually really blessed by this. An oath is a serious thing. It's not something to be taken lightly. You don't just make an oath on a whim. And it's something that we must be careful once we make an oath to keep it. And when I think of oaths, oath in our culture, I think of contracts, even though I know they're not the same, right? But I think of contracts, and I don't know why, but every time, without fail, I specifically think of cell phone contracts. This is just the way my mind works. Maybe it's because I've had every carrier known to man. Like in my 20s, I had AT&T Singular. Remember Singular? I had them. I had like T-Mobile. I don't know. I had everyone, Sprint for a long time. And I would sign a contract for each of those carriers. And I'm pretty sure I broke every single one of those contracts at some point, even though they gave me a free phone, right? With the exception of my current one. And that's because Mo won't let me break it. She just keeps it going. So It was, yeah, it was last week. We just switched last week, so it's really easy. But, and I would say this, before you judge me for breaking all my contracts, right? Like, make sure that you've kept all yours. That's all I'm going to say, right? Like, don't get all self-righteous on me. We've all kind of done this. And if you've kept them all, then judge away. I'm cool with it. Like, so we'll go that way. But our culture is a culture of contracts and not a culture of vows or oaths. We don't, like, vows and oaths are something that real serious people do, right? But if we take Christ seriously, we can do this as well. And here in the Psalms and throughout our times in the Psalms, we've run into oaths and vows more than once. I've even asked how many have made a vow. Like, I'll ask now, how many have made a vow or an oath? Many of us would raise our hands, right? Like, we get to keep these. And I think it's awesome that we get to keep these. And yeah. Marriage, yeah.
I know, I knew Aaron was thinking back there, I don't make vows or oaths.
Yeah, I don't make vows.
And I was like, yeah.
You did, Aaron, one.
I mean, yeah.
No, not me. And Aaron, I know your way, you have committed to Christ in a deep way that you could probably call an oath or a vow to follow him with your life, right?
All right. I just let my yes be yes.
Which is a form of vow, which I love. So, yeah, you were put on the spot. That's why you feel that way. But an oath is a serious thing. And as we've run into oaths, and I've said this before, I've made an oath to follow Jesus with all of my life, right? Like, I just want to follow him. I haven't done it perfectly, but I've made an oath to be faithful to Mo and she to me. I've made an oath to raise my children to the best of my ability and love them, which in large part means it's an oath to ask for forgiveness time and time again, because I screw that one up more than other ones.
And
but
for permission.
What's that?
And for permission.
Yeah, and for permission, absolutely. But I've also, Josh just left, but like, I've made an oath to Snohomish County. I have made an oath to Snohomish County to be our hometown and see what a life spent in Snohomish County would look like. Like, I just want to spend my life there and see what it would look like. And I don't mind sharing my vows or my oaths, because these have all been confirmed. These have all been made public. These have all been something that I've spoken up with. And honestly, like, declaring them helps me keep them, right? And many of you have had these vows and oaths as well. And I really hope that we take these seriously, and more seriously than a contract, right? That these... Zeke, will you go sit somewhere else or something? Thanks, bud. I don't mind you sitting by me, but it's the singing in my ear that's kind of getting to me. And I hope that we take these oaths more seriously than contracts, because the next verse in this thing is... it says that it's the one that's praying this is in severe affliction. And in affliction, what happens? Many people give up on their oaths and vows, right? It gets super hard and they abandon the commitments that they've made because it got too hard. And even in life, when faced with life-threatening circumstances, some give up on their oaths while others fight for it and fight even harder during those times. And it doesn't mean that those who fight always win or those who give up always lose. But when we are faced with hard times, we don't give up. We long for a life that we believe are and have made commitments to. It will give us more life, even if life is pressing on us at that time. And even in the hard times, while Jesus is lighting up our path, he makes our faith stronger in those moments. He makes our faith just that much stronger. And it's not easier to follow, but it's a commitment keeps us more deeply rooted. It's like a foundational, like, I'm going to go back. I'm not going to walk away from Jesus. Even if I don't agree with everything his people do, I'm not going to walk away from him. And at the same time, it takes an attention to our oath to keep it. And again, this is why our oaths and our vows can't be flippant. I read my vow of stability because that's the hardest one for me to keep. I really want to move. I don't like the rain and all that. But I read it a few times a year just to remind myself that I'm committed to Snohomish County. And it's oftentimes I do wish that the vow was Hawaii or some tropical place, right? But it's not. And every time I read the vow, I'm reminded that I'm home, and that's a good thing, that I'm secure, and that's a good thing, that it doesn't matter what hard things are going on, I get to see this thing out to the end and just know that I'm not going to abandon this place. I'm going to be here, and it gives me strength and courage to keep going, to keep going. So, and a commitment to see what God will do is exactly that. We need to be reminded of our vows, and we need to keep them before us as we do, so that we will be sane when we think we're in the midst of hard times. The next thing is, it talks about here is a free will offering. In verse 108, it says, accept my free will offering of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. A free will offering goes beyond an oath or a vow. It's not less than an oath or a vow, but it's that we've made our commitments and we follow them and we see them through. But an offering goes outside the confines of an oath or vow and goes on to be an additional blessing on top of that, right? Like, I think of my vow to live in Snohomish County. Well, I could just live there and sit in my house the entire time, or I can be in the community and try and be a blessing. That's more of the offering side, is just the free will offering. I'm going to try and be a blessing at the same time. And a free will offering just goes beyond. And here in Nun, it says that the free will offering is one of praise. That means that they are keeping their oath, and even though they are being afflicted, they will praise God with their mouths. They will give him praise. They will declare the goodness of God. And this is different than just a vow. This is speaking about how good God is in the midst of all our trials and situations. And when I think of free will offering, I think of tithe and offering. Maybe it's because it's the same word, right, offering. But it would also, because of what we do with our money and how it's important. And here at Grace and Mercy, we give away our money. We don't just as you guys give it, we also as a church give away, and we try and live generous. We pay our bills and our commitments. We keep our oaths. But at the same time, we give money to organizations or individuals that are in need. And this, we do this as a free will offering. It's something we give freely. We go beyond our commitments and give more. And we want to be free to go beyond our vow and give freely and live this generous life. And I also think of free will, or I think of offering, because of the word free will. A free will doesn't have any strings attached to it, right? Like, it's just like you just give and it's just there. And I know that I've given money to organizations that I've later found out didn't use the money for what I thought they should. Anybody in that boat? Like, I think most of us are. Like, you've given money to an organization and you think, well, why are they doing that with the money? And you have a choice at that point when you find out if you want to continue to give to them or not. But I'll say this, is as I gave to those organizations, I gave with a clear conscience, saying, here, you can do with it what you want. And if you seem, what they did with the money is not my concern. It was free of all those strings and attachments. And I also don't regret a dime that I've given away. Not once. Because it was given in this way. It was given as a free will offering. And we get to live freely and leave the results up to God. Leave what other people do up to between them and God. And we get to praise Jesus no matter what the situation. And we get to ask that he will continually teach us and lead us and guide us. And I love that this scripture reminds us again that we need to be taught by Jesus. C.H. Spurgeon said this. He said, "These repeated cries for teaching show humility of the man and woman of God, and also discover our own need for similar instruction." So we need to continually be instructed by Jesus, right? We need Jesus to be our light and our path. We need him to light it up for us, because we are ignorant of his ways most of the time. And so we need this posture of humility to lead and guide us. As I close, I want to make a quick comment on verse 119 or 110. It says, "The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray away from your precepts." And Thomas Watson said of this verse, "It is not the laying of the bait that hurts the fish if the fish does not bite." Right? And sometimes the fish bites and gets off before he gets reeled in and eaten by a Weber anyway. So, but the wicked may lay a snare for us, but we don't have to bite on it. And even if we do bite on it, I'll use the fishing thing. Like, even if we do, we get to fight our way off those lures and hooks that we know are reeling us in a bad way. We don't have to give in or fall into their traps. We've made a commitment to follow the ways of Jesus, and we will not forget his laws. That means that we're going to get away from things that help us forget his laws at times. And we get to stay on the path that Jesus has lit up for us. And I pray that for us, that we may find joy in this, right? That this will be our joy. That this might be, in this, as we're following him, we might find our heritage forever, our legacies. Are, you know, a lot of people talk about leaving a legacy these days. Well, may the legacies be in keeping God's goodness before us at all times. Telling the stories of what God has done for us and remembering that and allowing that to bring us joy. And it's not the hard times but bring us joy, but the following through in our commitments during these hard times and the stories that God gives us in the midst of these along the way, they bring us joy. Those are the things that bring us joy. If we keep Jesus as our lamp and our light, we will have hard times. That's a guarantee. But we will also have stories to tell and stories that in the telling will bring us a ton of joy. I can think of like friendships in this group and some that are newer, right? Like you guys just developing friendships and ones that are a bit older. And it brings me joy because there's a lot of testimony between the stories and the hardships that have gone on. And there's a lot of laughs that can just come about just because you've had stories. And not only that, but like in the midst of it, like all of us have walked together. Our faith has been tested. We've seen God be good to each other. And I know you've seen him be good to us. And it's been a cool thing. We've hung on to our relationships as a part of a testimony to Jesus' goodness in our lives. Amen. Like, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I also love that we're having baptisms today. I love it that Nate and Christy and Nate agreed later on, asked if they could baptize their... I love that we're having, because baptism is a part, in part an oath, right? It's saying, my life is committed to Jesus. My life is committed to Jesus. And even from a young age, these kids that are going to be baptized today, they're being dedicated, maybe not of their own free will, but their parents are saying, this kid is Jesus' kid. I'm going to help raise it. This is an oath that's being placed on them. This is a sign of the covenant. This is saying that this is what we do as a family. This is who we are as people. We are people who follow Jesus. And the sign of the covenant is baptism in the New Testament, and so we get to do this to our children today. And it's an oath of the parents are making, that are saying, we're going to raise them step by step in light of Jesus, in light of what he's done. And I believe it's an amazing display of this oath, that these lives that are baptized today, we pray that they may be committed to Christ forever. Amen. That they may step by step follow his ways, and especially for the kids, that they may do it quickly and like learn to repent real fast, especially when they're being disobedient. Amen. Like that's what I want to see. But may these lives that are baptized today be committed to Jesus forever. May the public setting of it, right, with the witnesses here gathered here today, may that be God's grace to the staying power that he can portray in their lives. And so I pray that we may, with our lives, agree with this last verse in this section, that we may incline our hearts to perform God's statutes to the very end, that we will endure all things and walk with him through it all. So Jesus, I thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you just even for this section on commitments and oaths. And it seems so fitting that we're doing baptisms today and that this section would come up. So I pray that even this story of these baptisms will be a joy and a witness to you and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.